Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello, everyone. It's podcast 111 and the cricketing reference. Put your leg up like David Shepherd, and I've got the yips about Wednesday now. And Coggy's going to tell us later that the goalie that I've predicted is going to have a mare isn't even playing. So I've got angst and nerves, but we finished on a high. It was lovely seeing the kids. And I think win on Wednesday, and it's a good bordering on very good season. Ollie's done everything that was expected of him and a bit more, perhaps, despite that Leicester annoyance in the cup when we could have gone on and then obviously won it. But as you say, he needs to be backed. And I will say, I'll start off with a few rambles. Firstly, I think you all know me listening. If you know me, or you can judge from this, I'm a bit of a dickhead. I try and be less of a dickhead than I was 20 or 30 years ago, but I'm still a dickhead, harmless. But at the weekend, I went out, closed the pubs, opened the pubs, closed the pubs, please close the pubs. And I took it too far. So we had to go to a family do, all within the legality, outdoors. And it was down country, windy roads. So anyway, I haven't been sick through booze for about 30 years, but they had the sight of me because of these country roads and citrus pale ales, of me saying stop the car and being sick by the side of an A road in a plastic bag, and my boy looking at me like, well, what the fuck is going on? And my wife and sister-in-law going, there wasn't a help, there wasn't a pat on the back, there wasn't any offers of tissues. It was just looks of utter disgust. So I think of any cars passing that moment of a broken man just thinking, what are you doing? So, yeah, that was not good. Secondly, I was going to try and reenact, but Nick's been late with time, that the Sky were doing during one of the protests. James Cooper was going all high and mighty about outside Old Trafford, and a red passed him by and went, Joel Glazer stinks of piss. And I was going to try and reenact, because we can't do it because copyright, but I was going to pretend to be James Cooper going, you know, and then he went, and obviously we apologise, and some fans acting, you know, and I just thought, Sky acting the moral high ground. And just the rubbish that has been written by some people and that is just nonsense. I think we've all may have seen the grass video. Now that bloke is a legend, but he's as fucking big a daft sod as anyone, and he's written for the mag, and that still makes me laugh when he's just going past. The fans forum with Joel Glazer, I hope this doesn't become a point in the summer where it all just loses and disintegrates. Obviously we're all suffering from different varying things of what we're going to do and all that. But I would hate that. I'm sure the Glazers are being advised just fob everyone off, you know, with not giving any time issued assurances. So it'll just go into the ether. So I hope the pressure remains. I will say I'm still having an existential crisis about renewing. I'm sure I will. I think you know me. My only transaction I have with the Glazers is that ticket money. And I feel that to give up the life, but I also am pretty much every day having a moment where I think after Avram getting in that car after it all, that I would just, why, you know, and I get all the reasons, but I'm just really, and I wasn't going anyway, so it wasn't a protest I couldn't make last week, but I did feel when I saw those minutes, those opening minutes, I felt a right buzz. And I saw, obviously, the cameras panned into a few people that people would have known. And it really got me. And I just think, can I throw it away? But the other part of me says, this is the moment when you should. So I'm almost certain I will renew, but I'm hating myself for this. And now it's not done. It's not a dig at Coggy. But I'm going to lead on because obviously Coggy was in that moment after the Super League, but he went last Tuesday. But I want to ask him about how he's dealt with that himself, but also the emotions of being inside Old Trafford. So I'm going to go to you first, Coggy.
Yeah, before I answer that, Barney, was that plastic bag pre-arranged? I mean, where did you find a plastic bag from?
Well, there were two in the front seat because the sister-in-law's, and she had all manner of things, hair kits, okay. And I just dropped everything at my knees. Literally, I was a broken man on my knees. So, yeah.
So you didn't bother with the hair kits, really went for the plastic bag. I think if one thing was taught me in the last couple of weeks about myself is I'm a right fickle bastard. I was adamant that I wasn't going to go to Old Trafford again. I felt like angry and bitter about the Super League. My mind changed slightly when we were at the protest outside Old Trafford, and as you got to see old mates again, and the love of being a United fan. And then when my mate phoned me up and said, "Oh, we've got tickets for Fulham," I just thought, "Fuck you! I've got to get back. I've got to get back." And as much as an hypocrite as I probably was by going there, it was amazing. The match aside, which was not particularly good, and the performance was mediocre. It was bordering on being emotional being back there. In all honesty, I don't think I've ever seen the players warm up at Old Trafford because I'm never in the ground. But even seeing that and the cheers that they got from the crowd and the way they responded to the crowd, it made us as one for that very brief moment. And it was great to be back. And, as I say, you bump into old mates and everything. I feel that maybe I am fickle in that respect. I'm not sure whether I'm going to go next season, having said that, but... My season ticket's renewed, but my mate's daughter can use that. But it was great being back there. It wasn't
a dig cog because we're all having that debate, and I think a lot of us probably will renew. But there's that self, I've put in the new mag. There's almost a self-loathing, but also a defiance that why should they ruin what we have? They have no connection to what we share, and that Cavani goal and that moment. But getting to what was it actually like? What time was your slot getting in and all that? Because that's what's put me off.
I mean, my slot was the earliest. It was 4:45 for a 6 o'clock kickoff. So I mean, that was a bit of a pain. I don't think anybody actually adhered to that. I think people were going just arriving whenever they wanted to. Yeah, it seemed a bit strange because there was only one way in and out, and that was through one of the north car park. That's where the ticket check was, and your ID. Then you went over the bridge and then into where the north stand is. But I think that applied wherever you were in the ground. If you were in Scoreboard and Stretford, you still had to do that same entrance. I didn't wear a face mask because I'm exempt. I downloaded a form off the internet, which made me exempt. And they did say, where's your face, mate? I said, I'm exempt, no issues, never got asked again. They said there'd be no drinking or eating in the concourse. That was totally ignored by most people. It was fairly well organised, and it was just good to be back.
Would you want to do that every game next season if that was, or could you do that every game next season?
Well, I just don't think it's, first of all, I don't think it's feasible. I think, managing 10,000 like that was a good trial run. I think even with 20,000, that would be very difficult to do. Inside the ground, people would be, if you saw a mate 25 rows in front of you that you'd not seen for 14, 15 months, people went over and spoke to them. So control this, I think, is nigh on impossible. So I can't see them being that rigid and that thorough going forward. I just think it's impossible as the crowds get bigger and bigger.
And it looked like when people were leaving, they were just leaving en masse anyway, so there wasn't a staggered time, because that would worry people who have trains or whatever to make.
Yeah, well, I mean, the email they sent out said you can leave any time before full time. If you stay until the final whistle, then please stay in your seats and, we'll move you out in an orderly fashion. Which didn't happen.
Yeah.
As soon as the final whistle went, everybody converged and left. So, that didn't happen. Fairly laid back. It was good.
It honestly felt emotional seeing Cavani's goal, that I thought people were sharing this. And maybe, because of the shit that, on many levels, the shit, the Glazers, the 14 months of not being there, it felt like, I don't know, just a bit of fucking release for everyone.
It's felt special seeing Cavani for the first time in the flesh. And then when he scored that goal, I mean, you couldn't write a story like that, could you? You couldn't write that, you know, the first game back, Cavani, who, you know, I would imagine thrives on the atmosphere of the crowd and that, scores a perler like that. You just couldn't write it. So, it was very special.
I have laughed. I mentioned this last December, but it has made me laugh, not at United, but seeing some teams booed off. That's like you've waited 14 months and you're booing your team off. And like, can you explain how Donny got 5 minutes?
No, I don't think anybody can. Yeah, but we've been saying that all season, haven't we? So that's nothing new. I thought he had a decent game yesterday. Funnily enough, I thought he did fairly well.
So,
going back though to the Fulham game, and what was disappointing for me, I stood in the middle of Sam Busby Way for a time, giving out the must little banners that they asked everybody to put up with, and I was quite shocked and disappointed the amount of people who said, no, I'm not interested. In my own little mind, I'm thinking every single person that walks past now is going to demand one of these and put it up at appropriate times. And it was probably less than 50% of people who took it up. And I was shocked, but more disappointed, because I thought, if that's the match-going fan, what can we do going forward? Because as people say, they're handpicked by the club, you're choosing particular people. I don't believe that. But I just think that, if there's 70,000 in there, we're not going to have a major protest inside the ground.
No, but going back to the original, the journalists, you wouldn't have seen it, but they were saying, there's very small amounts. So I was pleasantly surprised when the game started that it was over 50% that were.
Yeah.
I mean, this goes back for me, like, do I, the renewal, and we can all have our opinion, do I think I would be replaced and, maybe selfishly replaced by someone who's not going to have a visible mag outside the ground? I think possibly, maybe probably. Do I think there will be a fight from a win? Well, there wasn't really there have been points, but there hasn't been consistent since 05. So I doubt that there will be a consistent fight from win, because that's just, what happens over time. I definitely don't want that people are really abusing people for going in like last Tuesday. But that's how you can unify is what we've been saying endlessly. Shane, do you want to know? I've done some more research. Are you happy with this? So Liverpool.
Research is.
Henderson worried me. He's not done much wrong, but, if we're going to say he's number one, but I'm wondering if Ollie's had a wobble about this. But for the fourth goal against Liverpool, where he was so badly misplaced, do you know his placement in Turkey for that, not the farcical goal, but the second goal, was that off? So there's something about his angles. Have a look, Istanbul, and the fourth goal against Liverpool, he's in almost exactly the same wrong place. So how do you like that, Shane? And who are you hating this week?
I haven't had too much hatred this week, actually, because we've never been inside the box, and that's distracted me from the mundane shite you get on TV. I guess an obvious one is Jermaine Jenners with his punditry yesterday. I think it's quite apt that he's landed a kind of Alan Partridge-type role on the One Show, because that's about level of the nonsense he spouts. So, I thought that was ridiculous, that punditry yesterday. Both him and the commentator, it was a clear penalty, as you see, and yet they're still questioning and coming out and dribbling about, and what have you. But, I thought it was nice to see I thought it was nice to end the season with a win. It was a bit of a kind of like end of season, nothing game in a way, but it was nice that he gave a few of the youngsters a run out. It was a lovely goal for Malanga. I thought he had a positive game, actually. I enjoyed watching him. He looked like he was keen to get on the end of stuff in the box and make those runs. I thought he was quite good. I thought Tellez played all right. I thought Van de Beek had a good game, as Coggy said. I guess he will play a bit if he gets more than 90 seconds on the pitch, so fair play to him. I thought the Fulham game, I didn't go, and I guess we've all been through those emotions. I thought it was, I won't lie, I'm quite jealous when I saw people inside the stadium and it looked quite good. kind of, you know, me and a mate all ummed and ahed about going, and then decided, well, there were protests, would be uncomfortable. So we did. But yeah, I kind of in some ways regret not having that opportunity, but it'd be nice if we can get back to some sort of normality when the season starts. I'm not too keen on kind of, you know, the faff of time slots and whatever. I'd like it just to be the spontaneous sort of match watching experience that we all know, but we'll wait to be seen. But yeah, the game itself was a bit of a damp squib, I thought, and I don't know, kind of. I reckon some of those players already had an eye on the final; they were a bit half-hearted. So I think it was a good stroke by Ollie yesterday to rest those and give some younger players a chance, and that they want to go out, you know, either prove their point in case of some of the younger players or people like Matt want to go out on a bit of a high. So I thought he played that pretty well.
How are you feeling about Wednesday?
I'm very confident, yeah, and I'm usually quite a miserable, pessimistic twat. So I'm quite optimistic, really. I just think, like, if you just took Cavani, Pogba, Bruno alone, you've got three quality players there, and I think those type of players will be up for a fight. You know, and I think Bruno always is, and Cavani always seems to be, but Pogba's had a good sort of second half of the season, his injury fell aside, and I think those three alone have got enough quality to drive the rest of the team on. If those three are up for it, I think Maguire's a big blow every time fit. You know, he'll either miss it or he'll play on fit. And I think he is a big blow. I think he's one of those players you don't know what you've got till he's out, and he might still have his moments, but that make us a bit uncomfortable. But you know, he's not got the best around him, I don't think, a centre back. And I think I feel sorry for him if he doesn't miss the final. He's played every game and he deserves to play, so hopefully he does. But I think, yeah, I'm confident. I think, despite, I'm not saying being arrogant that we're a different class to Villarreal, but what did they come, six or seven or something in the Spanish league? We should be able to.
I think if the three, you know, those three players, I do have a bit of, when it's McFred, it gives me angst, but bigger worry is defence. But if they're at it, but my worry would be, say, like, it's 60 minutes and it's 0-0, and then the nerve, and I'm gutted we're not there. I mean, we were hoping for a miracle pass, and fair play to every Red going. But Noah's gone today, Red's a well-known Red, and he said there was nothing at Luton. They weren't even checking for negative tests, but he said Poland, they were checking for everything. So that's why you would have needed, it's their end.
Yeah, so I saw a picture today of, there's a few pictures on Twitter, wasn't there, of the sort of like a mock, you opening cup on a bridge that a few of the journalists put up. But I saw some Reds that got there early, put pictures up, and all the outside bars were full, and people are drinking in the sunshine. So yeah, I'm absolutely sick of not to be going. On one hand, I just couldn't do the quarantine, and it'd be not, you know, watching it with some friends and with my lap. But it is what it is, and I'm happy to be watching it.
It'll be very jealous looking at all the photos though, as the bars, and it gets hotter, especially as it's just rained here for about a month.
going back to your kind of like Saturday sickness, like, you know, we were lucky to have a few beers on Friday, and poor Nathan was down from Manchester. Yeah, I kind of thought it was a bit calmer when you said it, because, you know, we went into one pub, Coggy, and you're like this, that it'd run out, like, we're all gasping, Guinness, it's a lovely pub, that's a lovely pint, and they'd run out of Guinness, I guess, with pubs reopening and probably supply problems. Anyway, they only had 2.5 pints left, and Barney just immediately grabbed one and sort of slobbered into it so no one else could. And I like to think that he had the last pint of the barrel that was rotten or something at the...
I love the way that you've let this go, but this is only the third time you've now mentioned it since Shane. It's like, not that it's bugged you in any shape or form. But I will say, Nathan kept saying, we need to do an audio in a pub. And I finally did it very late on. Now, I've not heard this, so I'm going to edit it or not after this. So, any listeners, if there's nothing after this podcast, then it was appalling and it's all just gone in the bin. But if you get the full 10 minutes, it's a lot more logical. But citrus pale ale at my age, what am I doing? Why do I still think I'm fucking young in my head? Right, so Nathan, how are you, mate?
I'm all right. Yeah, it was good to see you the other night. It feels like a long time, well, because it has been, but yeah, I've Shane said about being a pessimistic, miserable twat, that's definitely what I am as well, but as everyone knows.
But you're not really. I think, like, Mark, you're not really. You want us to win on Wednesday. You're just almost a note of caution. It's like you're not allowed to have a note of caution on social media because.
He's a pessimist.
And a miserable spot. But I was glad that we won yesterday. I was glad that, you know, we got to see some of the kids again. I had this out with Wazza in the group about, I was getting a bit nervous about us repeatedly, like we lost a couple of games and then we drew a game, and it's like we need some, it felt uncomfortable that we felt like we had no momentum going into Wednesday. Like, obviously we won yesterday, but no one who was on the pitch yesterday will be featuring on Wednesday, will they? But I do think, like Shane said, we've got the players. Like, I don't know the ins and outs of Villarreal, but obviously we know that their manager is Emery, and he's won it three times, is it? You know, and got to the finals with Arsenal as well. So he knows what it takes to win that tournament, and he proves it by the fact that he's got to the final again. But I think one of their strikers has done really well this year, has he? But other than that, I don't know anything really about them. But you would think that we, on paper, we've got enough to do them over. But
the thing that gets me,
it's one of those that we need to start strongly, and we do seem to, but we need to kill off the game. I won't be happy on Wednesday until we're
4-0 up.
But that's what you don't want to go 1-0 in a European game, because sometimes a team will. What baffles me is I don't know, because, like, and you don't. Chelsea have shown they've been playing for every game and they've been up and down, actually having to, you know, wanting to win. They got that top four-itis in the end. Whether we've had such a strange with the Liverpool, then the Fulham, that form, and then they've had a rest. Hopefully it's all served a purpose. I'm not saying Ollie should have done anything. I'm gutted about the Liverpool result, because it then gave them the giddiness and obviously the goalie scoring to get it. But we will only know after Wednesday if the way we hobbled then rested has been worth it. But sometimes, again, the yips is that you can over-rest a player and then they haven't really had a competitive game for two and a half weeks. That just... But I don't know. Surely, I can't envisage, wherever we're watching it, I just can't see us all being gutted.
I'm looking at it popped up on my Instagram before about it being 4 years since Stockholm, and like the pictures came up of us all outside that bar and stuff, and it's like everyone, I'm gutted that we're not out there. That group that we've got on WhatsApp's been called the Road to Gdansk for about 3 years now, it feels like, and it's just sad that we're not going. But
can you imagine how giddy we would be?
It's nice for like our Manchester lot are all meeting up here to watch it together, and I know that quite a few of you down there are watching it together. So
there's quite a few coming up as well. Can you imagine how giddy we'd be? We'd all either, you know, some would have been there tonight, so you'd be heading out tomorrow. Can you imagine how giddy we'd be? Deary, me, in a real world. Right, Nick, so 23 minutes it's taken to get you on.
Well, I know, yeah. Well, it doesn't surprise me, to be fair, to see you waffling on. And it's nice to have Nathan back. He's, you know, he usually no shows. So that's nice for him to be on here and keep up appearances. Of course, he'd come in off the back of our patchy form, wouldn't he? You know, he wouldn't come on if we had, like, five wins on the bounce. And if we win the Europa League, you won't see him again. One of the things that I thought was quite interesting, actually, that I was going to say is, did anyone see the Villarreal score at the weekend to play Real Madrid? And they were winning 1-0. And Madrid did a late 1999 comeback to win 2-1 in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game, which I thought was nice. I thought maybe that's a good omen for Wednesday night. So I thought that was quite nice to see. obviously we've had a bit of a patchy time with him since we did the podcast. I think we did one after, was it the Villa game?
Yeah.
Obviously a bit of a questionable couple of matches playing Leicester and Liverpool and stuff, and great to see fans get back in for the Fulham game. The game yesterday, Wolves, was pretty nice. It was nice to see a few of the kids that were out there. I thought that Alanga goal, like Shane said, was absolutely fantastic, and hopefully he can have a bit of a bright future. It was nice to see Ahmad as well yesterday. I think he's got a little bit of touch of class about him, so I'm excited to see what maybe he can do next season with a few more minutes under his belt and a bit of time in England learning language and whatnot. I'm just really excited for Wednesday. I can't stop thinking about it, and I know obviously it would be so much better if we were going there, but I generally am very, very excited. If we can't beat a team that haven't qualified for the Europa League, you know, there's something gone drastically wrong here. This is it for Ole, isn't it, really? He's really got to go all out and do everything he can to win this competition. I really hope that we can do it. I'm not quite as confident as, was it Shane then?
Really?
I still get a little bit nervy when it comes towards the final. I mean, since the last time we played a Europa League game, was it the Granada game?
The Roma?
Since we played the quarterfinal against Granada, we've kept one clean sheet in 9 matches, and that was the game against Leeds. But we conceded like Fulham, you know. We can't even keep out a team in Fulham, who one of the worst Premier League sides I've ever seen. They're absolutely dreadful. So that is a massive concern for us, where we are being a little bit leaky at the moment. And I do think the team that he played against Fulham will be the 11 that starts on Wednesday. It doesn't sound like Maguire's going to be fitting up at all. I'd imagine that he's probably thought about the 2 and Zebby Lindelof combination, and that's why he played them in that. I'm guessing he's thinking Pogba on the left over Rashford, just on pure form. I'm pretty surprised if the team deviates that from Wednesday night, really.
I think he'll go Rashford. I think he'll pick Rashford, but Pogba on the left. And whether that's what I was saying to Coggy on the... Gary Neville was adamant that... Not that Rashford's a better player than Greenwood, but we could argue... But it's whether... You know, Greenwood on the right is a better option, but I think he will definitely put Pogba in. I don't think that, and then he'll go Rashford and Greenwood as a sub.
One of our top players, I really do. It'd be a shame to not play him, because I think he's been one of the bright sparks that I enjoy when I see him get on the ball. And he is a better footballer than Marcus Rashford. I've said it on here enough times. And you know, Rashford is a confidence player. I think he's a great option to bring off the bench. And so is Pogba, to be fair. But I just can't see him benching Pogba.
No way.
European final.
No
I
chance.
Think the negativity and the press that comes with that would be one hell of a statement for all.
Yeah, but also I think we may have a better chance. You know, I know we've done the Pogba thing, but he's been better this, especially since, you know, November, December, and that part of the injury. We win the game with Pogba on fire and Fernandes on fire, but you don't play Pogba, then I don't think you could risk that. But the one thing with Maguire, like with Lukaku in the cup final. Will Maguire, and this isn't as much of a dig, it's just that would he take the risk for the Euros? Would he have the Euros in the back of his mind when he says to Ollie on Wednesday what percentage fit he is? And that would be an interesting, because there's not much time at all. It's not like a Rooney, you've got 6 weeks or a month to recover. You've got 2 weeks. From there to the Euros. So would he say, I'm 50% yes? Or would he say...
I think Maguire's desperate to play in the final. I think he would be, you know...
It's not a dig, Coggy, it's just...
No, but I do think... I understand what you're saying, but I don't think he'll not play on Wednesday and save himself for the Euros. I think he's desperate to play on Wednesday. I can't see how he would be fit enough. And I know we've missed him. But if that guy's only 75% fit or whatever the case may be, he shouldn't be playing. I was quite optimistic in about Wednesday, because I knew nothing about VOL. And as you guys know, I heard Terry Gibson speak about him today. And he makes out they're a lot better than any of us think. And he said their league position is quite misleading. Their league position has been badly affected by their run in the Europa League, and they're far better than what their league's position suggests. And the goalkeeper that you saw the other week, Barney, then gave us hope, probably won't be playing because he's shit.
After all that research I did. The thing with, like, I think English teams let in a lot more goals, Nick, anyway, so the clean sheets, especially this season, is less relevant because every side's letting a lot more goals. But if Seville, who finished fourth, if Seville finished fourth, had our number a year ago, it'd be very interesting if the sixth team, surely not. I mean, seventh. The 26th of May is a very good date for United from the 83 Cup final replay to this. So I'm hoping that it keeps that run going. Come on, right now, I've got a couple of things to say. And then I dream of, not to fall out with Reds. I was always a bit cynical about the sponsors route for, the green and gold and online. But it's clearly wobbled some people. So if there's a way, again, these younger Reds can unify and we can target sponsors during the summer to actually get the Glazers to give dates on categoric things that we want. No bollocks. Well, it will be bollocks. And for me, the mood of this summer is dictated by Wednesday. Irrespective, the Glazers should always be there. But we go into the summer thinking, right, yes, if we win, but the mood will change if we don't. And also, this is another moment, as I endlessly said, 2018, he's got to be backed. Right, now, there's a new mag out today. A lot of work's gone in. And for me, I don't agree with everything in this fanzine as per, but a couple of things I don't agree. But that is what a fan. And I think if you were to ask what is a fanzine, I would say this issue, because it's passionate. There's a lot of family connections about what the Super League and what the Glazers were putting at risk. And I think this is exactly what it is. And I will say that a few people to reach target, as I've said already, for the summer campaign. But so many people, and if I miss anyone so far, have put, and they really enjoy the podcast. So I'm going James and Andy, and they've subscribed for over 30 years. Can you believe that? We've got Mark, we've got Gary from Pennsylvania, we've got Max, we've got Kent, John, Andrew, Ronan and Oyston have all said, keep up the podcast. So they obviously love the bollocks that you spout, Shane, and your hatred. And then, right, I've got a question for you. And there's one good journalist, and this keeps the pressure. There's Wright Thompson. He's an American journalist, famous. His piece on Tiger Woods, I really recommend, because he's as good as there is. And he's doing a piece on the Glazers and he's interviewing a few Reds to give them. So that, I think things like that, once they put pressure over there, I don't know, I'm living in hope. Right, now, here's a silly question. If you could tell your younger self from 30 years ago some advice now, 30 years back, not you two, Nick and Nathan. I'm talking about the old fuckers here. What would you do? Mine would be look after your toenails. And the second was a word of advice given to me in Gothenburg in 94 at the airport afterwards. It was a daft early flight back. And a well-known Red came up and he said, Barney, when you shit yourself, call it a day, mate. And he walked off. And that was it. I took that advice. And so far, I've never crossed that bridge, thankfully. Right, Shane.
If you have many more Saturday, like the weekend is gone, it won't be too long before you're probably both in the airport and you have to call.
You need that second busted bag soon.
Yeah, well, he didn't say what he needed the second one for, did he? Maybe. just literally 30 years ago, I would have said, after booking off time off work and booking the ferry, I ended up not going to the game in Rotterdam because a girlfriend at the time's parents were away. That was a big, big mistake looking back.
We'll all agree with that. I'm sorry, mate.
I would tell my 20-year-old self that there'd always be girls, but there won't always be nights like Rotterdam. So that would be one thing I'd tell myself. And the other thing, in a more positive note, someone told me, remember when I started work, there was a real piss can fella in the office who was just like working through. He used to always moan about his piles and he was just basically a wino. And he turned around to me one day and he rolled up his newspaper and went to the toilet and he just said, if you do one thing for your life, always shorten work time.
I love the way, can you? You're stuck with 8 hours a day with someone talking about their piles. Fucking hell, Shane. Rock and roll, mate. Right, Coggy?
Bloody hell.
I was trying upbeat. I wasn't trying to lower the tone.
No, I think mine would be don't try and shag a Ukrainian mafia's wife. I think That put me in a lot of trouble in Kiev. But I think that would have been good advice. And in fairness, too much wanking does wreck your eyesight, as I put my glasses on.
Right. I had the
we've all got glasses on.
I had the second jab. I mentioned it quickly last time, and I got a really weird reaction. So back of your throat by the tonsils, it all went purple. So I actually got to see my specialist. It's rheumatology with my Sjogren's, and they went, well, it's your immune system actually getting a massive blast and kicking in, and they said it's a good sign. But oh yeah, we've had some weird ones. I thought that was quite sorry. I'm not even going on that level of debate. But I'm all right now, and hopefully, if only with Gdansk was a month later. Right, Nick.
I have a story of a regret, really, because little Mark, you know, in the mag, you did the crazy boat trip to Sossingdag when we were 19, we were 19 at the time. He offered to pay for me to go to Moscow for free for the Champions League final in 2008, and I said no because I was 19 and I just about to start uni, and I was literally about to be $25,000 in debt, and I thought, I've no idea when I'm going to be plus 2,500 quid, and he offered to pay for me. Anyway, he ended up taking his brother instead, and he told me quite recently that his brother still never paid him back for it. So I could have had a free trip to Moscow there, which is quite infuriating. So yeah, if there's anything that you tell me yourself and say, don't give a shit about what you're going to be in debt for at uni. An extra $2,500 is not going to matter.
I feel we should have some music.
I feel you paying there, Shane.
Does anyone play a musical? Does anyone play a musical instrument? Like, we should have violins going on in the background here. Come on, Nathan, what's your advice to your younger self then? It's only yesterday.
I don't know, actually.
I know Shane's got something in his mind for you, Nathan.
I generally can't think of.
It's
not as profound as the others, but I do wish I'd have gone over to Kazakhstan for that aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I knew you were fucking going to say that. Good, I'm glad you admitted that. Mine was going to be for Nathan. He's in Freshers. We went on a night out, and there was not one female. Females in a particular nightclub that were both coming on to him that were quite, let's say, up for a little menage a trois, and Nathan didn't pick up on the signals, and I was stood there watching him, knowing full well what was going on, and Nathan just didn't clock it, and they went off and did they find someone else?
I thought you were going to say you, Nick. I thought they were going to say you came over to you.
I was taken, there was no way I was going. I had my missus at the time in one ear, so there was no way I was going. Nathan properly turned the
I love the way Nathan, where you say, I'm proud of you for saying life's done all right, but there's a part of me that feels like, say, life and misery will come and hit you soon. Right, Shane's perked up with these stories.
Your advice be, don't piss in the street in front of coppers.
Get back to United, yeah, lads. Come on.
Just don't do everything that I did in Freshers for them.
So
you say before, you don't have any regrets. You've had a few regrets, probably the most of the group so far.
And I feel that
you don't know, Nathan. No, that's bollocks. You don't live and learn. That's why I was being sick in a plastic bag at 50. You don't live and learn. That's it. I will say, we're going to keep these going over the summer if the lads have the time, because it's really grateful. We're pissing about with it. That we'll do like the best and the worst of the season after the final. Once now, this is pure the last few weeks and. Obviously, the fight. Shane, I'm going to ask you, what do you think about the renewal and where you are with it?
Yeah, well, I think I said around the protest time that you're obviously very anti-Glazer, and I think there's, you know, like yourself, the only money I give them is for tickets. I was honest to say, I think I was too sort of selfish to sort of spite myself by giving up. But I did have a little wobble after the, you know, since then, and I kind of did, if I'm honest with you, like, I'm gutted not to be going to Gdansk. There was multiple reasons, so I'm not going to claim it's the only one. But, you know, with the testing costs and quarantine, you know, they all added together and with work, like, it was just too much. Particularly the quarantine, but I was uneasy about, like, the only option to me probably would have been a day trip, and I think it's the only way to do that would have been a club trip. So I was a bit uneasy about doing that, if I'm honest, but that's not to judge anyone who is, of course. So it has made me think a little bit, but I think my overall thing is that I just think, and it's a personal opinion, I get that, you know, if we can empty the stadium, maybe, but I don't think that's possible personally, being a bit of a pessimist. And I think the club, most season tickets are in the lower tiers, and I think they'd quite happily get hold of those tickets. I think they get people to fill them. I think they'd probably be able to double the revenue from them, from packages and what have you. And then this sabbatical thing, on the face of it, looks like, you know, it is a kind offer to people to take a year off. It's not really enough at all, because there's not really much of a waiting list. If you want a season ticket north tier, boom, you probably get one. And that's where you'd end up if you give up your season ticket, in my humble opinion. I'm pretty sure I will renew it, but it's made me think twice about, is it worth that treatment? But, the add-on bloody, you know, times to get in and out and everything else, it sort of gnaws away at me. But I think I'd be spiting myself more than the
We've made vague mentions, you know, we don't even know what kickoff times or resemble when fans are back, because they're not going to get away with, you know, they're going to try and keep eking up. BT's gone Saturday 7:45, they'll put in ridiculous trips. I do feel it's an existential, because obviously I'm going to carry on the fanzine, but it would be a legitimate thing for someone to say, after all this, for you to renew, you know. But that's why I say I'm not a leader, I'm not, I know my own ills and weaknesses, and United isn't this addiction, but this is much more serious. This is much more a moment for me where torture, even if I do, you know, show no willpower at all, than 2005, because I was certain then, you know. And the fact that I was talking to someone at a do on Saturday, and they don't have a, you know, they didn't have a clue, but they knew because they were aware of the protests. And then to tell them all the things, you know, to reel out all these figures, and it just gets to me. But again, there's, you know, selfishly to cut my nose to spite my face, to give up something that I've done for 40 odd years. But if there was some magic button that we can press with the sponsors that. But everything I just think that we're doomed for the Glazers to eat away at that next set of people and say, you know, well, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that, and
I do think it's a bit controversial. Is that, like Coggy said about the Fulham game, and I'd be, you know, I was a little bit, you know, I would love to think that if we could all go back, let's say we could all go back next season, 70,000, I'd love to see the kind of at least some vocal and visible opposition to get it in the news, to give sponsors a shake. I know people might think, oh, that doesn't do anything, but I'd love to see that. But maybe on the other hand, playing devil's advocate for those people that didn't want the placards and didn't want to protest, maybe they just have enough of the shit at work and this kind of stuff, and they go to United for the release and the relaxation. I'm not saying that's right, but I think there is a certain percentage of sort of loyal, decent,
they just don't want the effort, they just don't want to. But that's why the awful thing, United is there for a release, it's there to entertain, it's there to provide, and they came along and besmirched everything that this club represents, that don't even go, you read my opening thing in the mag, you know, that it's just appalling. But what I would say, you know, for people, while we have these ongoing things, email your MP, try and get involved in what is actually going on now to try and think what influence, and it does depress me a bit, you know, Roy Hodgson on the fan-led committee, and I'm not, you know, meaning to dig at an old bloke, but in terms of a fan-led review, what is Roy Hodgson going to offer in terms of, you know, that says the makeup of it is, he's just going to nod and he's not going to have a clue, and he'll probably come out with the Glazers seem like good owners to, you know, from afar, and it'll just, it won't do anything. So I want something. Sorry.
Obviously, I've not been going a fraction of the time that yous lot have, but to me, like you say, when we're in there, like, I know that the idea that the Glazers is always looming over us and it's shit, but when we're in there and we're with our mates and we're watching the game, that's what matters. And the joy that we still get from being there and watching our team playing and scoring, like the other day, like I wasn't there either, but the joy that that would have brought, seeing that goal again in the flesh,
after a shit 15 months.
The phrase that came out of all that Super League thing was the idea of legacy fans. And if people, like, fair enough, if people think this is the final straw, they're giving up, but if these people leave and stop going, the legacy fans stop going, then the Glazers have won, because they don't want it there. Like the other day, like after the morning after the Fulham game, I noticed that United put up, like, on Instagram, like a little, like, slideshow of images from the game, and I was like, oh, that's quite arty for them, because all the images were like black and white, and I realised they'd done it so that you couldn't see the green and gold. They'd actively put pictures up blocking any green and gold on it.
That is so petty.
And that's the thing. It's,
yeah,
they don't want us to be there. So us not going there is them winning. We should be. We love the club and we love the players. We may not love the way, obviously, the way that the club's being run, but that doesn't take away from the fact that last night we saw a new batch of young kids coming through, and that's what we should be supporting.
But that's what, and I think, pretty much, you know, that's never the love United, hate Glazer part. I've never had that problem with separating.
That's what I mean.
No.
If too many people give up on it now, then it's not going to be that vocal voice in the crowd when we are all back there.
It makes me laugh.
Whether it does make a difference or not, I'd rather be in there trying my best to show that we're not happy than to not be there and our seat to be taken up by someone who don't give a shit.
And that's good points, Nathan. You know, I'm not trying, there'd been some, I don't know how people are going to think listening to all this, but we care. That's and it shows that there's probably someone at United's social media team who's got a pat on the back, you know, you've taken out all the green and gold. And it's just like, I just think that sums it up, you know, that
I think that's a mini win for us, to be honest. If they had to resort to that, then I think that's a win for us.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is that match day income, as high as it is at United, is minuscule compared to everything else. So even if 20,000 stopped going, it wouldn't really harm them dramatically. And of course, they'd still get other people taking some of those places, if not all. So, you know, as I said before, the real attack has to be on the sponsors and maybe merchandise, etc. And I agree with what Nathan says. I do think we are better being there and wearing green and gold or singing anti-Glazer songs or whatever than not being there at all. I think that's
Protest. But that's what we see.
On the fact that, like, we're cogging Nathan is that I'm going full conspiracy theory, but it's like a sabbatical. If you look at Old Trafford with the roof and etc., to interact about it, you can't see much of the ground. On TV, you can only see the lower tiers. Yeah. That's all they'd be bothered about. And you could close number tier 3 and no one would know that it's empty up there. You just don't tune in and charge people. So I agree with Nathan and Coggy. I think that they could easily fill up the lower bit, and they quite happily have whoever is wearing green and gold, or whoever is holding up placards, whoever is both out of sight and out of earshot, and that's what they would get a whole game.
But I just hope there's someone who can endlessly unify it, come up with new ideas and ways, and then it. But I've got zero hope. I think everything that the Glazers will say, you know, we're taking on board all this, and then they won't give any dates, and it will just be more flim-flam, and they think they can sit it out in their fucking... Anyway, let's not, on the eves of a final, talk about Avram Glazer's fucking ponytail. So, right, I am going... Do you know what I'm actually going? I'm going for a slight wobble, but I'm going for 3-1 United, and a very happy Wednesday evening for us all. Right, Coggy?
I'm going for a win. I'm going to fucking clear what score. I'm not bothered. But I know Cavani will be one of those scorers.
Shane?
2-0.
Us. Stockholm again.
Greenwood will score a goal. I don't know who scored the other one. I don't care, but I think I'm with
it. I just told you, Cavani.
Ollie
was one of our best players at the moment.
And Ollie fist bumps at the end. And how vindicated. I'm going to go to Nick next. He's almost going to fucking explode with excitement. But we've said it before, but the decency to cope with the longest season, the biggest crammed in games. He's taken so much shit. Yes, we want more progress at faster pace, but he's got us to where this point. And please take us over the finish line, that they will never take away that trophy. And he will deserve the best piss up a Norwegian from Kristianstad or wherever it is has ever had in his life on Wednesday, because he can sit down and the shit that he'll probably get next season and go, fucking yes.
He deserves the reason that Nathan turned away.
Nick?
I don't know if I'm as confident as Shane keeping it.
This worries me. This worries me, Nick.
I'm thinking we'll be down by half time, and we'll come back and win 3-2 in the second half.
That's more concerning. And where's the Nick who was going fuck off you lot and saying we'll win this, we'll win that? Come on, Nick, don't wobble right at the death.
Well, the good thing is about this game is we've actually been drawn as the away team. I think I'm right in saying that. So that gives you more confidence with our away record. So can we count that? Does that mean we can have that?
Well, it's in an away ground, so yeah.
So yeah, I think we'll go down, but I think we'll come back and win. But I think there'll be goals because we can't defend, and they've got some strikers. So yeah, to think that we're going to have a bit of a coasty game and just maybe concede 0-1, I'd be very surprised.
And Nathan's in pitch black, which is just a bit disturbing and worrying.
He's not having his stop wank come out.
Go on, Nathan, what's the
I've
score?
I've not put a light on before and it's got dark in the time we've been doing this, but I'm going to go, I think it'll be 3-1 as well.
Great.
To us.
Right, one.
Like I've said over the last few months, so there's generally nothing more that'll make me happy than seeing Ole with a trophy.
Right.
And that's all we wanted all along, haven't we?
It's, yeah. Second and a trophy, and then you go, but then the worry is the summer. But no, right, now the question is, I think Maguire will play 50%. If Maguire doesn't play, who do you partner Lindelof? Do you all go Ballou?
Yeah, Bailly will take the head off the top striker in the 15th minute, red card, but his job will be done. I'm telling you. By my word.
I think it's got to be Axel. Like I said, I'd be surprised if that team's any different from what he played against Fulham.
I thought one of you might have said Phil Jones. It's like some Lazarus come back from the dead. And Phil Jones.
Can I just say, you know when Shane was speaking then, I'm actually watching the United Way on TV. And as Shane said that about like taking the bloke's head off, Eric did the kung fu kick. Perfect timing.
Right, on that note, buy the new mag, please, people. Thanks for the support. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you, definitely. And cheers, lads. And come on.
And review as well. We're still pushing for some.
Go on, Nick, explain.
We've got about three.
Explain, Nick.
So, yeah, and you can go on and just, like, say, this is a great Wolves podcast for Coggy or something like that. 5-star. I didn't even get to ask Coggy's views on Nuno leaving. We'll ask him that on the next one. But yeah, you can go on and just rate us on there. That'd be appreciated. Even if you think it's shit, I think last time I went on there, we had 33 ratings. And, like, you know, if it's me, I look at a podcast, I think, Christ, we've got 30 ratings. It must be five people pissed in a pub, just rambling up with themselves.
Talking utter shit.
Yeah, we can have some ratings to up it to make it look like we actually know what we're doing. That'd be grand.
And then someone just switches on and hears someone say, the worldly advice they gave me was don't shit yourself. All right, lads, cheers on that. See you later. Thank you. See you, lads.